I'm Christian McBride, and this is Jazz Night in America. For most, let's say, seasoned jazz artists, you can pinpoint a particular moment that defines the trajectory of their careers. Maybe it's that one special gig, or maybe it's that first lesson with an elder. For Helen Sung, it came in 1995 when she was in her mid-20s. Helen was accepted at what was then called the Thelonious Monk Institute of Jazz, now the Herbie Hancock Institute of Jazz.
When I got in, it was like, I felt like I won the lottery, and it changed my life.
The Institute is a full scholarship 2-year apprentice program. Helen would be touring the world, learning and playing with the masters.
Clark Terry, Jimmy Heath, and Jackie MacLean, and Wynton Marsalis, and Ron Carter was the musical director. It was unbelievable. How can you not be changed by that? You could say I went from a complete outsider to be brought into the inner circle.
An outsider, because until this moment, Helen was on track to earn a doctorate in classical piano. But she made a sudden change in her direction as a musician, and now she was on the fast track, the old school trial by fire experience on the bandstand.
If I thought I was in the deep end of the pool, I was in the middle of the ocean at the Monk Institute. I needed that time to get my act together because there's no shortcut around learning this music.
In the 25 years since Helen graduated from the program, she's toured globally, released 8 albums as a leader, performed in the Mingus Big Band, at the White House, and in tributes to pianist Errol Garner. She was even commissioned by a brewing company to craft a theme song for a Thelonious Monk-inspired beer. Later this hour, we'll hear that song and learn more about her upbringing in Texas as the daughter of Chinese immigrants and how she kept her devotion to jazz on the down low. But we're glad you followed that path, Helen. You're a bad lady. Hear for yourself, live from Dizzy's Club at Jazz and Lincoln Center. Here's Helen Sung, solo piano, with Carolina Shout. Thank you. Carolina Shout, written by James P. Johnson in 1918, played here by Helen Sung in 2016 at Dizzy's Club at Jazz Lincoln Center. But Helen didn't play a solo gig. She brought her quartet, John Ellis on tenor saxophone, Reuben Rogers on bass, and McClenty Hunter on drums. They'll join her for the rest of the hour. Here's an original called Into the Unknown. Thank you. Live from Dizzy's Club at Jazz Lincoln Center, that was Into the Unknown, written and played here by Helen Sung. Helen Sung was raised in Houston, Texas. Her parents are from mainland China and first relocated to Taiwan before settling in the U.S. in the 1970s. Early on, Helen's piano skills developed quickly. Despite earning high honors in high school, like performing a piano concerto with the Houston Symphony, Helen says her parents were merely tolerant of her skills and that they didn't know what to expect from a music career.
I think maybe not unique to the Chinese culture, but just the immigrant life, you're just trying to survive in many ways, and music is a nice luxury and a hobby, but definitely not something worthy to be called a profession.
Helen's the oldest of four and says that all through her childhood, she was expected to be a role model for her siblings.
To be the oldest in Asian family, I think it's a tough position because so much is expected out of you from the parents. And I would consider myself very dutiful, obedient, very good at following rules, being good at following instructions. But then it was actually when I first got introduced to jazz music where the rebellion started.
She was wrapping up college when she told her parents, "I want to study jazz."
That really, I think, rocked their world in a way they didn't want it to be rocked.
They had no reference. It would take her family a while to recognize that her path was not only the right choice for her, but a viable career option.
I think for them, they were just very relieved to see that I was able to support myself, you know? And also they saw that I was very happy doing what I did.
All these years later, Helen's still making it happen. She's grateful, but says it wasn't easy going against her upbringing.
Going against what my parents wanted me to do and their approval, which is a huge thing in my family, and I would say Asian culture. You want to bring honor to the family. Looking back, if I could say anything to myself, I would say, better late than never, and good on you for just kind of doing that. And I'm so grateful that somehow it all happened.
When Jazz Night in America comes back, we meet the man who might just be the biggest Helen Sung fan.
I think she's a extraordinarily accomplished and talented jazz pianist. And in addition to all of her talents as a musician, she's just a doll. I mean, you talk about integrity and honesty. The world would be a better place if we had more Helen Sungs.
I'm Christian McBride, and this is Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride, and this is Jazz Night in America. As we heard at the top, pianist Helen Sung got her big break as a member of the first class of what was then called the Thelonious Monk Institute of Jazz. The program was named after Monk, but it exposed Helen to all kinds of artists and styles. Still, Monk's music is a reoccurring theme in her career. She plays with Monk's son, drummer T.S. Monk, and loves to record and interpret Monk's music, like this one, Baya. Here's Helen Sung on piano, John Ellis on tenor saxophone, Reuben Rogers on bass, and McClenty Hunter on drums. Thank you. pianist Helen Song and her quartet live at Dizzy's Club in New York City. They were playing Baia by Thelonious Monk.
I first saw Thelonious Monk live in concert in 1964 at the Ed Club in Los Angeles. And it left me completely speechless and spellbound.
That's Doug Moody. He's a huge jazz fan. And here's how he's connected to Helen Song. Back in the 60s, he was just a teenager from Santa Monica sneaking into jazz clubs and working at a record store. And the older he got, the larger his personal record collection grew and grew.
I had just under 100,000 singles, and I had about 40,000 plus LPs.
That is wild. Doug eventually joined a California-based brewing company called North Coast and brought with him his love of jazz. One day, he turned to his business partner.
I said, you should make a beer that tastes just like Thelonious Monk. It was a joke, but it, you know, something unique, different, special, memorable. And when he brewed the first batch and we tasted it, it was like a home run. The working name for the beer just became Monk,
which evolved into Brother Thelonious. The beer was very popular. And Doug didn't stop there. He wanted a theme song. So he asked Helen Song to write it.
I wish I could say I drank a whole bunch of the beer, but that's the funniest thing of all. I actually don't enjoy the taste of alcohol, so.
Now, musicians get commissions from arts organizations all the time, but a theme song for a beer?
Helen, she asked, what do you want in the song? I said, I want something that makes you feel as good as listening to Monk play. And I thought she nailed it.
Let's hear it. Pianist Helen Song with her quartet live at Dizzy's Club at Jazz and Lincoln Center playing Brother Thelonious. Thank you.
Rodgers, John Ellis, McClenty Hunter. Thank you.
Pianist Helen Sung with her song Brother Thelonious. When we come back, Helen tells us about her composition inspired by injustice in the American prison system. I'm Christian McBride. Welcome back to Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. Back in 2015, Helen Sung was reading the New Yorker magazine when one article hit her like a gut punch. The piece was titled Before the Law. It was the story of Khalif Browder, who was arrested for allegedly stealing a backpack at age 16.
It's very tragic. You know, his life was cut short by just his unlawful imprisonment at Rikers because he couldn't afford bail for a crime he was ultimately never charged for. It was just such a horrible confluence of circumstances, and he said that prison broke him. It broke his mind. He spent a lot of his time at Rikers in solitary confinement, which is incredibly cruel. He was so young, you know, and so unfortunately he committed suicide. I burst into tears after I read that story because I couldn't believe a human life could be treated with such carelessness, you know? And I knew about things like this, but something about his story just brought it so into my face. I had to respond to it in some way. So I used the tools that I had, which is music. This piece, it's probably one of the most personally meaningful pieces I've ever composed. We start things off in this performance with John Ellis pointing the bell of his saxophone into the strings of the piano while I'm holding down the sustain pedal. Unfortunately, Khalif's voice has been silenced, but I believe that his spirit still lives. So that part was me of trying to evoke just the many voices who, unfortunately, you know, they suffered the same kind of fate that he did, you know, just all these voices calling from another plane of existence, calling out to us to not forget about people like Khalif, urging us to address the very serious problems in our society and with our incarceration system. I just hope that music brings attention to this and somehow commemorates his life with, you know, with love and the beauty that I can hear and offer him in my writing.
This is Helen Sung and her quartet playing her piece, Lament for Khalif Browder. Mm-hmm. Helen Song and her quartet playing Helen's Lament for Khalif Browder. She wrote it back in 2015. It was her first attempt at taking what was going on in the world around her and putting it to paper. She hopes it won't be her last.
Jazz is such an honest art form. I think it's if you pretend or fake, it's not going to be good art. And so as an artist, I want to be on the side of truth. I want to be on the side of justice. I want to be on the side of reconciliation and reparation and healing. And as artists, we have to keep shining the spotlight on where the ugliness is, where the rot, where the evil is, and shine a light, because light is healing.
Let's go out with one more tune in the vein of that healing feeling. This is Hope Springs Eternally.
And made always do so.
Jazz Night in America is a production of WBGO, Jazz and Lincoln Center, and NPR Music. The music was recorded by Rob McCumber. This week's episode was written and produced by Alex Arif. Our team includes Sarah Kirsten, Sarah Giletti, Nate Chinen, and Trevor Smith. Our project manager is Saraya Muhammad. Our senior producer is Katie Simon. Lauren Anki is the senior director of NPR Music. Executive producers are Gabrielle Armand and Anya Grundman. I'm Christian McBride.